الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. ولقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and young ones in Islam and those that may be listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the ayah that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention, He's calling out to us, saying that hasten towards the forgiveness, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, towards forgiveness, towards blessing and bounty from His side, وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, and to a garden of paradise whose extent is the skies and the earth. In other words, beyond our imagination, beyond what we understand in terms of limitation. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it has been prepared for those who have taqwa. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conscientizing us with regards to achieving His closeness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, and in particularly in this time of the year, when we are coming closer to a what we could refer to as the spiritual high season of our Muslim calendar, we are on the doorstep of the month of Ramadan. The month of Rajab is almost complete, and the month of Sha'ban will be starting. So, at various opportunities, various times throughout the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us occasions in order to maximize and obtain the rahmat, the blessings, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereby achieving success both in this world and more importantly in the hereafter. So, with that in mind, with that brief introduction, I thought it appropriate to discuss, in the light of this particular ayat of the Quran Sharif and various other ayat which we will touch upon, what are some of the things that we need to do in order to prepare for the month of Ramadan that is on our doorstep, and the different dimensions of preparation, the different aspects with regards to the preparation for the month of Ramadan. Because if we have to look at it, the objective for the month of Ramadan is the very same objective which is mentioned in this, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. These bounties, this blessing, this reward, this Jannat whose extent is the skies and greater than the skies and the earth, this has been prepared for the Muttaqeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when referring to the month of Ramadan that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The purpose of Sawm also is for taqwa, to become muttaqi, to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we now prepare ourselves consciously to maximize and achieve the objective? So the first point that comes to mind is that when we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then from the onset of the month of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began making the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, grant us blessings in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and enable us to reach the month of Ramadan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actively conscious of the approach of the month of Ramadan. And that is only possible when a person's priorities have been fixed, when we prioritize. So the first aspect with regards to the preparation for the month of Ramadan is the mental preparation, our mindset. Where are we, and to understand what is our priority, what is our objective. And this a verse of poetry of the famous poet of Pakistan, Allama Iqbal, rahmatullah alayhi, comes to mind. He says, addressing the believer, addressing a person, saying, in fact he's addressing an eagle. It's a figurative expression. He says that, nahi hai tera nasheman qasr sultani ke gumbat par. Nahi hai tera nasheman qasr sultani ke gumbat par. Tu shahi hai basera kar paharon ki chatano par. He says that, O believer, O falcon, each and every one is a falcon. When it comes to the love of Allah subhanahu, we should be soaring in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he addresses the falcon and he says to the falcon that, O falcon, your place of abode is not the dome of the king's palace. Albeit it might be a very high perch, a place to perch on. The dome of the king's palace. Your capacity, your ability is far, far higher than that. If you settle to be remaining on the dome of the king's palace, then you have settled for something inferior in lieu of something superior. Like the Quran Sharif talks about the Bani Israel. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. You're giving something away that is far more valuable and accepting something that is far less value. So this is the first thing to recognize. The first thing to recognize is that this is a great opportunity. It is a great, very, very great blessing that is on our doorstep. And the whole orientation, the mental, the way that we look at our lives, the focus of it, we need to be able to first, you know, as they say, calibrate our minds. Do the settings properly so we understand that the focus is the hereafter. Because if we get the focus wrong, then we'll be like that falcon that is perched on the king's palace. But his ability was far, far more than that. That is why the great scholar of Islam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, in a little booklet that he wrote, titled The Secret of Happiness, if you like, one of the points that he mentions is that one of the secrets of happiness is that for human being to recognize his creator. Why? Why is it a secret of happiness? In other words, no person can be truly happy if he has failed to recognize his creator. The reason that he explains, and if we ponder and we reflect over the reason, it is very, very profound indeed. He says that Allah being our creator, and in the Quran Sharif, time and again we've heard this ayat of the Quran Sharif, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah has created us for His worship, for His recognition. So, what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, he says that the maximum, the highest application of the abilities of insan, the faculties of insan, is the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do anything and everything in this world, but if you fail to recognize and to achieve a level of closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have, as they say, undersold yourself. You have underachieved. Because the ability, Allah ta'ala has put this heart in us that allows us to recognize Him. The place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart is the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be housing the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But someone will say that, yeah, but we know that Allah ta'ala is one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. These things we already accept. So what more is there to achieve then in the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the answer to this is found in the verse of poetry of my late Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, when he said, تَجَلِّي هَرِكْ دِلْ كِي أَخْتَرْ أَلَغْ هَي تَجَلِّي هَرِكْ دِلْ كِي أَخْتَرْ أَلَغْ هَي مَهِرْبَانِيَا جِتْنِي قُرْبَانِيَا هَي. O Akhtar, the manifestation of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is of different levels for different hearts. Different hearts and minds experience different levels of the recognition and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it after all that enabled Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anh to start the rakat, Allahu Akbar, al-alif lam mim, and end that rakat with min al-jinnati wa nas? What was it? It was that recognition, that realization of the being of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that enjoyment that Allah ta'ala put. So this is what we need to identify as a priority. When we identify that as a priority mentally, that this is something that we want to prioritize in our lives, then Allah ta'ala will also open up those vistas, those opportunities for enhancing the closeness and the recognition with Him. So this is one aspect that we need to prepare ourselves, that yes, We want to maximize on the recognition, on achieving the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, the next dimension of preparation that we can achieve is some level of physical preparation. Now when we say physical preparation, immediately the minds will run to, yes, make sure that your savories are ready, and already some of the freezers will be starting to get full. But the physical preparation for the month of Ramadan is not supposed to be, is not meant to be only that we start stocking up the freezers. In fact, where is this concept that when it comes to believers, and unfortunately it is regarded as a norm now, that unhealthy living, unhealthy eating is regarded as acceptable. Yet it is part and parcel of our deen to be living a healthy life also. This is part and parcel of our deen. Deen is a holistic system and a way of life. Deen is not just a bunch of rituals, na'uzu billahi min dhalik. Deen is supposed to be, in fact Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi again, he says that those people that engage in overconsumption, the chances and the risk of their being involved in sin is far higher than those people that are involved, that eat and consume in moderation. So we need to reflect upon this aspect also. Besides that, in terms of the physical preparation of the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast most of the month of Sha'ban. On many occasions, most of the month of Sha'ban would go in nafil fast. If we are not able to do that, then at least we should try for some of the nawafil fast, like the 14th, 15th, and the 13th, 14th, and 15th of the month, or the Mondays and Thursdays, which is sunnah to fast on. But this fasting, again, it engenders, it creates a noor in the heart. And this also prepares us physically for the month of Ramadan, and it is a way in order to achieve, to prepare the body and the mind in order to maximize from the great opportunity that we are about to witness. Then we have to consider what is the spiritual preparation that we can do for the month of Ramadan. When it comes to the spiritual preparation for the month of Ramadan, then obviously the most important aspect is to ensure that we refrain from sins, from all types of sins. But beyond that, there are simple prescriptions that we can engage in. It doesn't require that a person has to divorce himself and totally from the dunya and have nothing to do with it in order to have a little bit of focus and direction towards the akhirat. In fact, again, my Shaykh Hazrat Muhakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that your compass or the scale needs to just tilt over. That's all. For weak ones like us, like you and I, that 51% our direction, the majority we should be focused on preparing for our akhirat. If we can do that, then inshallah we will be very, very successful in attaining the barakat of this month. So what are some of the spiritual prescriptions that we can take in and apply? One of the simple things that can be done is daily, a short time daily, to be reciting the Quran Sharif. Short time. 15 minutes, 10 minutes, even one quarter. Those that can do more, we should try to and aspire to do more. But that contact with the Quran Sharif is not only reserved and limited to the month of Ramadan. When we do that, and particularly if we reflect and we spend some time reading the Quran Sharif, reflecting over the meaning, there are authentic tafaseer that are there, there are programs that take place. We've lost our attachment with the Quran Sharif. And where there is tilawat, then it is to the extent only where it is tilawat. Indeed, it is very, very beneficial to recite the Quran Sharif even without understanding. But it is more beneficial and more impactful when we recite the Quran Sharif and understand what is the message that is behind the Quran Sharif. And on that point, one of the constant themes of the Quran Sharif is this prioritization of the life of the hereafter. One of the dictates of Iman is that a person will prioritize automatically by virtue of his Iman, he will prioritize the Akhirat. He will prioritize the life of the hereafter of the life of this world. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, speaking about those people that will achieve success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, those who bear testimony to the day of Qiyamah, to the hereafter, to the fact that one day we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Mufassireen ask a very valid question on this ayat. They say, but this is already speaking to the believers. Already, the people that are being discussed in this verse is the believers. And the believers already accept that the last day is there. So the Mufassireen explain, they say, يُصَدِّقُونَ بِالْأَعْمَالِ. They don't just pay lip service to the authenticity. They don't confirm the existence of the day of Qiyamah only by tongue. Their limbs also bear testimony to it. In other words, their life is then lived in a manner that is consistent with them one day standing in front. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that person who understands and he fears one day I'm going to stand in front of Allah, he lives his life according to that, then those are the people that will be successful. So this is one element of the spiritual preparation, that we recite some Quran Sharif with understanding and reflect over the key themes of the Quran Sharif. And another very simple prescription, and again it is one of those beautiful teachings of our deen, that will be a source of peace, of tranquility, of success also in this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us a simple prescription. He says that the person who says La ilaha illallah 100 times in the day, and this is an authentic riwayat, authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the kalima La ilaha illallah is such a powerful form of zikr and recognition and understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the person who says it 100 times in the day, doesn't take very long. In the morning when we wake up, before we start our daily activities, or in the evening before we go to sleep, seclude yourself and recite, focusing on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that that person's face will shine like the full moon on the day of Qiyamah. So what does it mean that your face will shine like the full moon on the day of Qiyamah? The meaning of this is that the ulama write that it means that he will be given the tawfiq to carry out those a'mal, those actions that will enable his face to shine. In other words, they will generate that noor in his life. And he will be given the tawfiq to stay away from those things which he finds it difficult to stay away from. This is the experience of the pious ones. It is not that they don't feel anything. It is not that, that says that, in haseeno se dil bachane mein humne gham bhi bade uthaye hain. It's not that the Ahlullah don't feel anything in the heart, they don't feel that pain from the temptations of this dunya. But they take that pain upon the heart, they take that pain upon the heart, and they are given, because of they are able to do that because of the spiritual stamina that is generated. Just like how we have a physical stamina, dear brothers and elders, a physical stamina, if you tell a person who's not fit to run a couple of kilometers, you'll see within the first 100 meters he'll be out of breath. So that is a physical fitness. So there is also a spiritual fitness. How is it that it was possible for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stand in salah until his feet became swollen? Because of the spiritual fitness that it was. So we need to work towards the spiritual fitness. And one simple thing that we can do in preparation in the coming on the month of Ramadan is daily do not fail to make the zikr that is prescribed, that is suggested from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the salah, how long does it take to recite the Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar? In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wasubhanallah tamla'u aw tamla'u ma tamla'a wa subhanallah wa alhamdulillah tamla'ani ma bayna as-sama'i wal ard." This Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, it fills the earth and sky, between the earth and sky, with reward. So these are mechanisms, these are methods by which we can enhance our spiritual fitness in preparation for the month of Ramadan. And then another aspect that we can prepare for is the financial preparation. Financial preparation for the month of Ramadan, I would discuss two elements here. One is the farz zakat that we are obligated. Most typically people calculate their zakat or pay their zakat during the month of Ramadan or close to the month of Ramadan. Not that that is the masla, that you can only be given in the month of Ramadan. This is not the place to discuss the detailed masail. But the payment of zakat is an extremely important ibadat. And not just the payment. This is where, as particularly those that are involved, those of us that are involved in business. The question is to them, to us, that how can we expect to pay the zakat properly when we haven't calculated the zakat? When we don't understand, when we don't even know what is our stock. When we don't know what is our stock, and the masla is that the zakat is payable, as far as businesses go, it's payable on the stock in trade, it's payable on a person's debtors, minus your trade creditors. So if we have not understood what our books look like, then how will we calculate our zakat? How will that barakat come? How will that barakat come? So it is an extremely important obligation when it comes to the payment of zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about zakat in the Quran Sharif, again, time and again, on numerous occasions, zakat and salah are mentioned together on a number of occasions in the Quran Sharif, which indicates the great importance of zakat. And the words used is وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. Those people, not just who give this, who do their zakat. That means there is an action involved. There is an involvement in the giving of that zakat. So it is involved, either they're very conscientious with regards to the calculation of the zakat, ensuring that it is reaching the right people. This is a very, very critical element of our deen. But the other side of it, with regards to the financial preparation, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu used to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by nature was a very, very generous person. But when it came to the month of Ramadan, they say he was like the wind that brought goodness with him. That wind that brings a lot of goodness. He was like that wind of generosity. So the Quran Sharif also says that لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who spend from their wealth, but the spending is not وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. Those people are the close ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom in their wealth there is a known portion. There is a very, very deliberate strategy that they have to be spending on others. And the Quran Sharif mentions two categories of people in this particular verse. Those who ask, those who may come forward and ask, and those who may not even ask. So many, many people are out there that are worthy of receiving some kind of assistance, some kind of support. And we need to be conscious of those and be assisting those types of people. Then the final element which I would like to cover is that the emotional preparation for the month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, we live, dear elders and brothers, we live in a day and age when from morning to evening, the focus is just ourselves. The focus is ourselves. From morning to evening, my business, my worries, my problems, my challenges, my children, my everything. Yet the Quran Sharif has given us the secret for success in just a short verse of the Quran Sharif. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those people who have been protected from the self-centeredness of themselves, the stinginess that it is but natural that overcomes a human being. He's worried about only himself. It is natural. But if we fight that urge to only focus on ourselves, then Allah says that فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the truly successful ones. We are living, the elders and brothers, it is a critical responsibility upon each and every one of us to reflect on the society, the surroundings that we live in, and see the suffering, see the difficulty. And if we do not have the financial means, then at least we should empathize with those that are going through suffering. If we cannot afford some sort of financial support or physical support, at least offer some moral support. All sorts of suffering is taking place around us. All sorts of, the kitabs of hadith are replete with sections that deal with how does one soften the heart. We have to ask ourselves morning to evening, how much of my day do I feel for others? This ayat that I mentioned, that I recited in the khutbah, we didn't have time to discuss. But if we quickly run through, Allah Ta'ala starts off the ayat. He says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ Those who spend in times of prosperity and times of difficulty. It is a message for even those of us whose budgets are very, very tight. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said to the Sahaba on one occasion, اِتَّقُوا النَّارُ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ Protect yourself from the fire, even if it be by means of one date. One date if you can give. This element of giving is such a powerful protection from both. One is from the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and both from the types of uncertainty, from the types of unrest that we are experiencing. Remember, dear elders and brothers, that an island of prosperity cannot exist for a very long time in a storm of adversity. All around us, the difficulty, the trials, the tribulation, the suffering that people are facing. So we need to very, very carefully reflect on this empathy, on this emotional preparation for the month of Ramadan. Emotionally to prepare ourselves to feel, to sympathize, to empathize with others, in all manners that is possible, that may be possible, and try and assist others that may be in difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. May He remove the difficulties, the calamities, the hardships facing the ummah. May He protect the believers. We know all sorts of challenges at different places. We know what happened a couple of weeks ago in New Zealand. May Allah Ta'ala protect each and every one of us, the believers. Protect from all sorts of harm. From the harm of political upheaval, from the harm of the likes of Islamophobia, from the harm, from all sorts of evil. May Allah Ta'ala protect and the ummah. May He grant us prosperity. May He grant us the ability to take full benefit from the month of Ramadan that is on our doorstep. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين